freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive every episode at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Ah, we stink, man.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
No way!
Well, hello and welcome to the Brock and Salk podcast. Another one coming at you. I don't know what the heck I'm saying. I'm so tired today. Let me be clear.
I thought you were going to say bites the dust.
Another one bites the
another
dust.
Another one bites
the dust. All right,
we're done.
All right, the hay's in the barn.
And
see
another
everybody.
One's
Bye.
Gone.
No, here's why. Honestly, I did not get a ton of sleep last night, and I would like to very formally blame my dog. So Wendell, for the last couple weeks, has been waking up at like 2:30 in the morning, Brock.
Okay.
And he does this thing because he can't jump off the bed anymore. He's an old man. He's 13 and a half. He can't jump off the bed. So he just goes, over and over again, kind of like a baby crying where like you don't hear it at first and then it keeps going and it keeps going. And so we've been taking him out because generally if your dog's crying at night, you assume they got to go out to the bathroom. So we're walking around at Aurora at 2:30 in the morning every night. And it's been, you know, quite the experience.
Pleasant.
Yeah, it's awesome. Anyway, Heather got the idea that instead of walking him, maybe he just like couldn't stand up to turn himself around in the bed. So now she just like turns him around. And the first night she did it, it worked. He stopped crying and went back to sleep. Well, so last night she did it and she turned him so that he was kind of like his head was near my head. And I was kind of facing him and he's facing me. And at first, like he's still kind of whining and stuff. And it's fine. And then he belched. What I have to tell you was the most revolting smell. It smelled like something had decayed inside of him, and then he belched it directly
right
into
face.
My face at like 2 a.m. while I'm sleeping. It was revolting. It was disgusting. It was absolutely repulsive. It was so awful. And I was sort
and it
of
stuck
like,
to you in the pillow, and there was no avoiding it.
Well,
afterwards.
I think eventually it kind of wore off.
You roll over, you cold shoulder.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can talk to the back.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm gonna go roll over and look at my alarm clock instead. But it stuck with me throughout the night. The sort of trauma of it, and so I honestly did not sleep that well. So I'm sorry for not starting the podcast with my usual energy and gusto. But good morning, hi Brock. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, it's kind of been the opposite week for me. Been an energizing week, doing something that I don't get to do a lot of, and that's sit in on a hiring process and interviews. Kind of just filled up my love tank of question asking and digging into people, and so I'm energized. I feel terrific, and on top of it, it's opening day. It's the Masters. I mean, crying out loud!
It'd be a heck of a weekend.
Tigers coming back. The par 3 course today, plays tomorrow morning. We have an unbelievable dinner to talk about, the Masters dinner with Hideki and what he put on the menu. And oh, by the way, the Mariners begin, as Larry Stone said, their playoff push. It ends this season. We got all that.
You think the other golfers are excited about Tiger being there and taking all of the spotlight or mad about it?
Did the other wrestlers love it when Hulk Hogan was on the card? Yes, they did. Hulk Hogan.
I don't know. I never asked that. Like, who did you think I'd ask that question?
I don't know. Bruce.
Hey, Macho
BK.
Man. Like, were you always happy when Hulk Hogan was there?
Ask Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Of course, I was. Like,
yeah.
What
Scott
conversations
Hall.
Do you think I was having?
Ask any of them. Go ahead. I know many of them have passed, unfortunately. But what did Hulk Hogan do? It elevated every WrestleMania. It elevated every match. It elevated the pay. It
but
elevated
it,
the
it does
exposure.
Do that for those guys,
but it elevated all the attention.
But
so
it doesn't elevate their exposure. The opposite of that.
Well, it gets more eyeballs on the event.
But it puts less of the camera shots on them.
Unless they're pushing,
so
unless they're playing with
but
them.
But if you're
unless
Brooks Koepka and you're going to get 60 shots a day, whatever it is, and Tiger's there and he gets all of them, you go from 60 to 15.
But then no one sees your bleached hair, and that's good for Brooks Koepka.
Maybe it is, yeah, fair point. Well, that's why I was wondering if maybe they liked it. They liked having some of the spotlight
off
of
them. Oh, I bet some of them love
it
for that aspect. That,
right?
You know, the attention doesn't have to be on me. Give him all the galleries. I can zone in and focus in. Some of them that are wired that way. Some of them that love the challenge and say, hey, man, I want to be in the ring with Hulk Hogan. You kidding me? I want to be in that group. I want to be in and around that energy and that gallery and all of that juice and all of that emotion.
Who do you think welcomes it the most?
Competitively?
Some cocky, like Patrick Reed, who already thinks he's better than Tiger, one of the greats of all time. So finally, his cameras are here for me.
Uh-huh.
But he probably hates it because he's more likely to get busted cheating.
That's true. Right.
I think Rory likes it.
You think
I think Rory likes it. Yeah, I think Rory likes it. I think he likes big moments and big stages and isn't afraid of that environment.
Who do you think is happy to have the spotlight off of him for
Bubba?
The week? Bubba? Bubba's not even relevant anymore. They're just busy making fun of him for his bad dinner. All right. Here, I'm going to spin this around to the Mariners because as you have watched Julio and Jared Kelnick the last couple of weeks, there's a very similar comp here, right? Kelnick last year operating without the, you know, anyone else in the spotlight. He was, you know, everyone else post Tiger Woods, right? All the focus is on you. He was called up into this big moment, right? The team wasn't hitting. Remember back to when he was called up. Mm-hmm. They'd been no hit twice, right? They weren't hitting at all. They bring the kid up. He's already said he deserved to be there a year earlier. Then you get the Mather stuff. Then they finally call him up and they decide to hit him leadoff. And there's a lot of spotlight on Jared Kelnick when he gets called up that day.
You're talking
right?
him being like a Rory McIlroy coming up because Rory was the next
right,
guy.
The next big thing, right? And mm-hmm. and Kelnick had a lot of that on him and hit a lot of the spotlight, a lot of the pressure, and it broke him a little bit, right? He didn't hit. He gripped the bat too tight. We heard the stories of him busting bats and helmets and
was
everything.
Was it 0 for 39 eventually?
It was 0 for 39 before he was sent down, I want to say on June 8th or 9th. They finally, you know, took pity on the poor guy and sent him back down to Tacoma to kind of figure it out. And he comes back in September. Credit to him. This story doesn't end there, right? We got to see that he was able to put that behind him and come back and figure out major league pitching and really be, if not their best player in September, certainly on the list of guys that when he came up, you were like, okay, I feel really good about what he's doing right now and whether he can come up in a big moment and get a hit. Well, fast forward to March and into April of 2022, and JK's an afterthought because the world has gone Julio crazy. Right? He's got the huge home runs. He's got the inside of the park. He's essentially supplanted him in center field, right? He's got all the social media with him getting the call up from the skip and his parents and this and that. And it's J.K. who's Jared Kelnick even focused on that guy anymore. And what did he do as soon as that happened, Brock? Hit three home runs in 3 days and all of a sudden put it all together. Yep. Are those two things related?
Hmm. Well, my years of covering baseball, Mike, and the number of times people would tell me, no, they have nothing to do with that. That's the next day's starting pitcher. And it's his swing that day. And it's his execution. It's his process. It's all of those things. And it just so happens that the process came together on those 3 days. And he belted one to center. He pulled one and yanked it about 450 feet to right field. And, you know, the baseball guy is going to tell me, no. No, none of those things. That's not how baseball players work, Mike. Okay? They're different than you football players.
Mike.
Stop trying to footballize everything with baseball, okay? Let baseball players be baseball players. It didn't work that way. Not you. I'm talking baseball guy.
The Royal Mike.
Yeah. So, let's put it that way. Baseball guy says, no, doesn't matter at all.
What does Brock Huard say?
Human being psychology says, of course it does. And of course, competitively, two young Brahma bulls, one of them that's got a smile on its face and one of them that eats grass and is spitting and snorting before every game. Of course, those two Brahma bulls are going to collide physically. Hopefully not.
Less miles now? He's eating grass?
Yeah, he's eating grass.
What in the world is going on in your house today?
He's eating grass.
What are you
His love tank
about?
Is full, Mike.
Oh, yeah, I'm so full.
Where do you keep your love tank?
Don't answer that.
It's a private question.
Yeah.
You're the one who brought it up. I just want to know where you keep it.
Yes.
All right.
I do think psychologically it does matter. It does play an impact. I do think it's probably the healthiest dynamic imaginable. Did that play a reason into Julio making the opening day roster and all of that? No, his play did. Right? Something we've talked about a lot. You force the decision by your play. But man, I think this is best case scenario for that organization and for the growth and development of the two of them, that it isn't all the JK show. And in fact, he's got somebody right next to him in center field that's pushing him. And as we talked about on the podcast last week, that is built totally different from him.
Yeah. Disaster scenario, right? Worst case scenario is that Kelnick sees what's, we talked about this, right? Kelnick sees all the attention on Julio, wants it for himself, and or says, oh my God, was he able to succeed right away where I struggled, loses confidence, it all becomes bravado, and he fades off into Dustin Ackley nothingness. That's the worst case scenario. More likely scenario, honestly, and I really believe this, is that sharing the load, Brock, I think you just said it, mm-hmm. brings out the best in both of those guys. Yeah. That both of them will have their moments in the spotlight. Both of them will see their jersey sales around this city. Both of them will have their moments of big hits and coming up in the clutch. Both of them should get paid if they're interested in that now or long term. But they don't have to bear the entirety of the responsibility of being the thing to turn around the Seattle Mariners. Mm-hmm. That they can share that with each other. And by all accounts, they have a good relationship. It doesn't mean they're best friends, but there has not been a jealousy, you know, competitiveness, animosity, any of that. And if they can find a way to lead the team together with their in different types of intensity, different styles, etc., and share the spotlight legitimately in a baseball context, gosh, that sounds like the perfect scenario.
Yeah.
And by the way, not unlike what we saw with the Legion of Boom Seahawks. There wasn't one leader of that team and it was his team. It was Marshawn with his personality and Richard with his and Bobby with his and Cam. I mean, there were 3-4 guys that were able to share that spotlight.
And I do think that that is the healthiest way to go about it. It's funny, as we're having this conversation, the picture that I have is not the Legion of Boom. The picture I have is Ken Griffey Jr. and Jay Buhner. Mm-hmm. Different. Jay was older. Jay, you know, was never, I think, the prospect of, even though he was on Seinfeld, he was never the prospect of a Jared Kelnick. But from a wiring standpoint, a Texan like Jay Buhner and the major league son of, big time Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. and the kid and the number one prospect and everything, they were different. Mm-hmm. And they played off of each other and their personalities were vastly different. And yet they could totally coexist, and the one was good for the other. Certainly Buhner, I think, great for the kid. And I think Julio's joy, and that is why you heard the skipper over and over and over again in that social media outlet that the Mariners put out. You know, you heard him say, Julio, just be you. Be who you are, mm-hmm. right? Bring that joy. Don't change the peaks and the valleys. Now that you're in the bigs and people will say, you got to be this way. And the old guard says this and the old rule. No. Just be you. Because by being you, I think you will benefit the guy next to you. He didn't say that.
Right.
But I certainly read into that. I think you benefit the guy next to you in left field immensely by you being you and the way you're wired and built.
Don't ever change how you play. Play with joy. Okay? I want an energy and be you. Don't change.
What do you think that, we didn't get a chance to see it, but what do you think that meeting would have been like last year with Kelnick? Like, we got to see the sort of Julio, we're flying your parents in, and the, you know, that childlike joy, as you said. What do you think that was like with Kelnick? Jared, we're calling you up. Yeah, about time. Where you been? Right? I mean, like, I wonder how different it was, whether Kelnick got an opportunity. I hope he did. I wish I had asked him this. I wonder, and I hope that he got the opportunity to experience the excitement of being called up and all of that without the sort of like about time stuff. I would bet he did. Honestly, jokes aside about him, I would bet that he was able to savor the moment. I sure hope so.
Does it not feel like he has evolved as a person more in the last 6 months mm-hmm. than probably anybody would have predicted?
Yes.
Every national and local person who has talked about Jared Kelnick up until about August of last year would tell you the exact same thing about what kind of personality and person he
cocky
is.
Cocky and all that, you mean?
You don't hear the same yep. things from national or local people ever since basically August came
out. I mean, I gotta tell you, sitting down with him down there was like a revelation. The way, and both of them were. Julio is in his own way. I mean, you can't help but get caught up in, as Brock said, the joy, as Scott said, the joy. But Jared was a revelation, man. You sit down with him, you're like, kind of expecting Tyler O'Neill, honestly, right? You're expecting this.
Smell you later.
Yeah, you're expecting this sort of tough guy, bro-y personality.
Because you saw it and you watched it and you heard it when you sat down with
him. And let's be honest, he looks like it. He's got the spiky blonde hair and the shades, and you're just like, all right, here comes
the G-Wagon.
Right, here comes
the thighs for days.
Yep. And then he sits down and he's really thoughtful. He is incredibly introspective. He is open to talking about his feelings and his family and his failures in addition to what he hopes will be his success. He pushes credit around to other people around him. You get a completely, completely different view from what I certainly was expecting with him. And I think based on what we saw last year, what everybody was kind of expecting with
him. Because you learn so much more. And I know it's an axiom that's overused and overplayed, but it's true, man. You learn immensely more through failure, truly about yourself, than you do through just success.
Yeah.
It is through an 0 for 39. It is through mom Kevin coming to visit and bake cookies for me in Tacoma. It is coming back after that. It's Garth Brooks going to Nashville after starring in Stillwater bars for years, thinking I'm the next big thing, and have to tuck tail and go home humiliated. And at which point, you know, in his documentary, you hear the only thing that he won't share is the conversation his dad had with him, which was maybe too painful to even share. But he went right on back to Nashville and sucked it up and ultimately became a superstar. I don't know if Jared Kelnick is that thoughtful guy that you sit with, Mike. I don't know how introspective he is if all of a sudden he comes up and hits 270 last year and does never have an over 39. I think that adversity...
That might have been okay, too, though, by the way. Like, having him as the sort of brash, cocky, you know what...
Well, to be fair, the
doing
Mariners
all that would have been just fine.
Kind of were preparing, like, hey, we're going to do this differently because his personality is differently. Mm-hmm. We're going to let him go down this path instead of trying to force him to go through what we think everybody should go through, which is this forced failure.
But he wasn't going to fail anywhere else. I mean, I think that was part of his... They mm-hmm. knew there was no... he wasn't going to fail in AAA.
But they could have buried him at the bottom of the lineup. They could have played him part-time. They could have treated him like a lot of prospects that got brought up.
They said
lead off in center
with their actions, we're going to do this differently because we believe that his personality is different, and we're going to see if it works.
Howdy, you are the great prognosticator. It's how I've always referred to anybody who asks. Oh, I say, wow. Oh, you mean Howdy the great prognosticator?
Sayer of sooth.
Howdy, please say sooth for us. Say sooth about Seth Smith, if you can. Mm. Say sooth.
On Seattle Sports.
Hoof Station on 710, yes.
It's Mike Salk, Seattle Sports Station 710, Seth Smith, say sooth.
Howdy. Who finishes the year with a higher war? Jared Kelnick or Julio Rodriguez?
It will be closer than most people think. But I think it still will be Julio, just because I think his defense is actually going to be a positive.
All right, let's take the defense out of it.
Hitting-wise?
Who finishes, what is that, a war? Who finishes with a higher OPS? Just keep it plain and simple. On base plus slugging. Who finishes with a higher OPS in 2022, Jared Kelnick or Julio Rodriguez?
Jared Kelnick.
That's what I think.
Neck and neck, though. It is really close. Really, really
close. What do you think that number's at? Give me an over-under on OPS for the year.
Over-under is going to be 810. 810 OPS.
Okay.
750 is about average.
Right now.
Over 800.
It used to be about 800. Now it's about 750.
No, about 750.
Things have gone south a
little bit. Because contact goes down. So.
Right.
But yeah, I think that they're both poised to have all-star level contributions this year.
Yeah. All-star level contributions?
Yeah.
Did you just say that?
Yeah. Over 800 OPS is all-star level contribution.
Doesn't mean you make the all-star game, but it means that you're participating at that level, right?
Yeah, I think that's a very legitimate possibility. I would expect that's about what we see.
I tell you what, I agree with the great prognosticator over there. I think that's a pretty good number.
Bad sign.
If Howdy had said 850, 900, I'd been like, all right, that's a stretch. And I might be a little lower than you. I might probably be in the 775 range, but not that that's a huge difference. But I'd probably be just a hair under 800 for both guys. But I'm with you. I think Kelnick has a little bit more success in year two. I just think being a veteran helps in baseball, man. Just learning the ropes, going through it once. And here's the only thing. I think Kelnick will have more home runs. I think the thing that worries me with him is the on-base percentage, and just can he swing at good pitches and can he avoid all the rollovers to first and second? I think when they remove the shift next year, it's going to help Jared Kelnick a lot.
A ton.
And so I would feel a little bit better about this projection if we were playing without a shift in 2022. I think that will continue to hurt him a little bit, but I think 2022 is a big step forward for JK. And that 2023 is his year. That's my gut feeling.
Kyle, how about you and I?
I think Julio Rodriguez is the best player on the team. I don't know. That doesn't mean he's going to play like it his rookie year, but you watch him in Cactus League.
But that's the question. Is
single, double,
year?
Home run, outfield put out.
Stolen bases.
But that was Kelnick last year, too. I mean, like, don't forget, that was Kelnick. Remember, Scott was talking about him. He was like, should they make the team? Wham! Hits a home run while Scott's talking about him. I mean, like, that was sort of Kelnick last year.
Sort of. It wasn't exit velo record after exit velo record record on top of top game speed. I mean, it was he's unbelievably strong and he's powerful and he's a great athlete. But I don't remember, I may be wrong, and I know spring last year was different than this year, but I don't remember exit velo record after exit velo spraying it all over the field like Julio does. I mean, doesn't that just strike you as being a slump buster when you can actually spray it everywhere all over the field?
Yeah, here's the thing.
And run the way he can run?
Would you say 810 was your OPS number? How many Mariners had an OPS over 810 last year?
Zero or one?
One. Two over 800.
Your first baseman.
First baseman, Ty France, was 813. Mitch Haniger was 804. You think that both guys have better years than either Ty France or Mitch Haniger did last year? That's where it starts to feel like a little bit
just
of a stretch.
It's a different skill set. There's more power there for both of those guys. And Haniger's on-base percentage is a little lower than you would expect for a caliber player he is. Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Mariners, even with those two guys, with France and Haniger, their season seemed great to us, but you compare them to the rest of the league, they're guys with plus 800 OPS on every team.
Just out of curiosity, off the top of your head, Ty France was first last year, as I said, with an 813 OPS. Number two was Mitch Haniger at 804. Who was third on last year's Mariners in terms of OPS?
Kyle Seager.
It was not Kyle Seager.
Jake Fraley,
I don't think it was, but I'm looking here to even see if he's on here. Hold on.
Luis Torrens.
It was Luis Torrens.
Thank you.
Yeah, Luis Torrens finishes with a 730 OPS last year, and that would be third on the Mariners. Mm-hmm. After that, you get a whole group in the 715s and 20s. J.P. Crawford, Kyle Seager was at 723. You're right, Jake Fraley was at 721, so just below that. They were sort of all in that range. But isn't that interesting? Luis Torrens actually finishes third last year on the Mariners, and you know he's got some issues at catcher, but the dude can
pretty
hit, and he's another one of these guys that you're going to, especially against left-handers, you can really run him out there. And by the way, you know, against those left-handers, Jesse Winker's not quite the same player that he is against righties. So it's going to be a very interesting lineup to see the way Scott juggles it this year and finds and tries to get the most out of these guys.
Kyle? Soothsayer Brown?
Mm-hmm.
Who has a higher OPS?
He already said it, Julio. He's the best guy in the team.
Julio, Jared, or Winker?
Oh.
Nah, Julio.
Really?
Wow.
I don't know. Winker's going to do it from one side of the plate. Now, maybe he's on the bench for when they're facing...
You know, this may not be the right time.
Yeah. Winker's OPS by year, just so you know.
It's going to be like 900.
Let me give you Winker's OPS by year of his career. As a rookie, he only played in 47 games. He had a 904 OPS. Mm. This is what kind of hitter Jesse Winker is. In his second year, he played in 89 games, 836. 2019, 113 games. It was 830. Next year was the COVID year, 932. Last year, 949.
All right, might be Jesse Winker, you know, now that you say that.
But keep in mind, he did almost exclusively play against one side of the plate.
He did play
a lot
more.
His dominant play.
That's for sure. And a lot of that, in his case, comes from his on-base percentage, which has been pretty spectacular. I mean, between 380 and 400.
It doesn't strike
MLB Network ranked him the number one left fielder in baseball.
Right. So
in their top 100, he was ahead of, what, Story, Bryant, Baez, like everyone we talked about other than Simeon.
Yes. Like, he's better than
that. He's a legit dude.
Yeah, he is. So it's interesting. Who's probably going to lead them in OPS? It's probably either Jesse Winker or Ty France, honestly. Mm-hmm. And by the way, no one's talking about Ty France this spring because there's so too many other interesting storylines of, you know.
But he had a terrific spring.
He did. And he's a really good hitter.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
An excellent first baseman. I got to get something off my chest. I'm sorry. I'm going to bring something personal to the professional level of this podcast.
Does this have to do with your love tank?
Hello.
And just say it. No, it has nothing to do with the love tank. And I usually trust.
Ugh, get it off my chest.
I usually trust Kyle immensely. I usually do. But he has severely broken my trust in something.
Oh.
Yep.
Good.
Yep. And that is your numerology studies. And the fact that you don't think 44 fits Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah, what's up?
Does
kind of agree
not
with
shame
work.
On
He's never
you.
Worn 44 either. He's worn 18. He's worn 25. 44. It's by, it goes from rib cage to rib cage, hip to hip. It's too wide. It's too girthy.
He said the number chose him.
Therein lies the problem.
He's going to make history in it.
He's allowing the number to do the decision making.
You take the bull by the horns, Julio, and you
or hands
or the hands, yeah. And you pick a number you look good in. You look good. You feel looks, good. You play.
Gosh, I think he looks honest, good in 44.
I do too. I hate to agree with Brock on this. Usually, you and I are in lockstep together.
I was so glad you asked him that Monday. Yeah. So
44.
Keep 44. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number chose me.
Yeah. I kind of like it. I generally, you and I see as eye to eye on this as probably anything in the world.
And to a level that no one even understands. What are you two talking about?
But I kind of like him.
I respect, 44. Like, okay. Yep. I know Brock's name is Hank Aaron. It's all this Willie McCovey or something. Yeah. It was like, well, in 1956, some great players wore this.
There's some
number.
History to
oh,
it.
Great.
There's some history to the number. It's big. He's big enough for it.
Yep.
It's kind of not
a center fielder. Now, did Mike Cameron wear 44, Howdy?
What would you like to see him wear?
I would 40.
He was pulling off like 18, all right.
18's a pitcher's number.
What, Hisashi? Give that to Iwakuma?
For the most part, Japanese pitchers want to wear 18. It's the number of aces.
44?
18
right.
Was also
Mike Cameron, 44.
Was,
okay.
18 was like Johnny Damon. Like, it's, I don't know. It's a little too thin guy.
25, he was doing well in that, I thought. Now it's like a first baseman or
a
third.
Fat right fielder.
No, it's for a corner infielder, I think.
25.
David Bell.
Some fat right fielder.
Russ Davis.
Or maybe a third baseman. Yeah. I like 44, and I think it kind of works for
him. All right. Well, we'll give it a try. I'm open to it, but not what I would
We'll see
with.
If we can find a way to agree on something later, Kyle. Maybe we can agree on springtime in the Northwest. It means a little bit unreliable weather, but thankfully, Famous Dave's Barbecue always has some famously reliable barbecue classics to satiate all of your Q cravings. Have you had any recently? Anybody had a Q craving recently?
No. I did pulled pork the other day. I did it myself.
See that? Yep.
How do you any Q cravings? My wife just texted me. We got to move back to Dallas. It's a missing barbecue.
We don't need to move back to Dallas. You just go to Famous Dave's. Barbecue.
There was the time Howdy admitted he was interviewing for other jobs, and now he's just volunteering it.
We
got to
move
back to Texas.
Okay. Remember when that happened? Remember when we called Howdy's roommate to ask him about cable, and he asked him how the job interview went? That's one of the most amazing, and then Howdy somehow managed to accidentally delete the recording of it.
I never turned on the recording.
Was crazy, though. What a coincidence.
That never happened. You guys all made
it. What an absolutely bizarre moment that was.
Fake news.
Anyways.
Keenan? My roommate Keenan?
Keenan. We were like, hey, man, like, we just want to call, like, Howdy calls like, hey, yeah, we're psyched to ask you about this. Why don't we have cable in
We've got 10 guys in a 4-bedroom house.
Right.
Let's split this.
Yeah, they had a hovel that they lived in. And like, he was the one who didn't want cable, right?
He was one of them, yeah.
So we called to ask him about getting cable, and he's like, hey, dude, what's going on? How was the job interview?
That's amazing.
What? We're on tape? Anyway, rain or shine, you can order online for curbside pickup or delivery with Famous Dave's Barbecue. Let me give you some menu highlights to help you with that Q craving. Feast for two, half rack of St. Louis style spare ribs. That's my favorite right there. Half a country roasted or barbecue chicken, your choice of Texas beef brisket, or who's it loves the Georgia chop pork? Who's our Georgia chop pork fan? I forget. Is that you,
Howdy.
Kyle? Or it's Howdy.
Howdy's a big
Howdy's
I love
a pork guy.
Chop pork.
Yeah, I like that. Plus creamy coleslaw. You got famous fries, the Wilbur beans, sweet corn, cornbread muffins, family style, 2 to 3 people, just $49.99. Appetizers, you got Memphis style dry rubbed rib tips, Texas beef brisket. Brock, I know you like this, burnt ends to the Dave sampler platter appetizer, rib tips, chicken strips, onion strings, wings tossed in your choice of sauce. Don't forget the refreshing Dave Sassy barbecue salad, sandwiches, burgers, even dessert like the award-winning bread pudding. Order online, FamousDaves.com, to get your Q curbside or delivered with locations in Everett, Tukwila, Tacoma, and, of course, you got that Ghost Kitchen in Northgate. Brock, we're steadily creeping up to the draft here. What are we, like 21, 22 days? We're basically three weeks away from the NFL draft. And this is the time. I know you want to talk about other positions, but I need like a couple of minute of quarterback talk first.
Okay.
Because this is where all of the teams start salivating over quarterbacks and talking themselves into these guys as being first rounders. I don't know how many of these we've seen over the years. Blaine Gabbert strikes me. Brandon Whedon is another one. Paxton Lynch, right? Like, these guys have never been considered
Christian
first
Ponder,
round picks.
Jake Locker.
Oh, Christian Ponder's a great one. Jake Locker was like the number 10 pick in the draft. Guy couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. but he's really nice, and the people needed a quarterback. And so all of these guys, is that what we're seeing now? Because in the last couple of days, it went from being just Malik Willis and maybe the kid with the small hands out of Pitt.
Pickett.
And then all of a sudden, now we're hearing not just Desmond Ridder, maybe Matt Corral. Like, all of a sudden, these names are drifting.
You're in
up.
The maybe RG3 is better than Andrew Luck. Right. Some scouts are saying.
Right.
Yep.
Is that what's happening, or are these guys actually better than originally thought?
Yeah, no, that is exactly what happens over the kind of ramp up to the draft, is realizing that, yeah, these guys are better football players. He's a better linebacker than he is a quarterback by a long ways, but quarterback's more valuable, and we have to have a quarterback, and we need a quarterback. And why there's constant overdrafting of that position more than any other position. Why Josh Rosen would be another one in that group of, what, five that season that went like in the top 10 or 12.
So let me ask you then, just while you're on that, is it worse to draft Jake Locker number 10, or whatever he was.
Eight, I believe.
Eight. Okay, well, that is worse.
EJ Manuel.
Or is it worse to, hey, that's Brock's buddy. Or is it worse to draft a Jake Locker number 8, or to pass on Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, it's worse to pass on Patrick Mahomes.
Which is why these guys get overdrafted.
That's exactly right.
It's not actually worse, though. It's not worse for your franchise. It's worse for your franchise to make a huge mistake on a quarterback who stinks in the top 15.
I don't know. It's pretty.
Now you've got Zach Wilson for 40.
That sets your franchise back.
It's pretty
years.
Bad to pass on a guy that you could have for 10 to 15.
Not if the
years.
Next year you get the next guy, right? I mean, yes, it obviously stinks to pass on Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying that's like fine, but if you pass on Patrick Mahomes and the next year you draft Josh Allen, it's not that bad.
Well,
but if you instead draft Josh Rosen in the top 5 or wherever he went.
It took him like 10, and the next year they realized
they got lucky.
Kyler
they
Murray
realized
won.
It quickly.
Yeah, yes. They realized you better fail fast.
Yeah,
you better realize
lucky.
It very, very quickly. I don't
but
know
that's
if it's
rare.
Get lucky.
That's
you better
rare.
You better drop your ego at the door, and if you're wrong, hey, we signed Matt Flynn to $10 million.
Right, I
you
chose
know?
The wrong guy in Josh
Doesn't
Rosen.
Matter.
That was a bad example. Let's forget. Can we strike that one from the record? Okay. That's like the one time somebody screwed up in the first round and immediately recognized how dumb it was. Okay, that's the one example the other way. But
it is easier. But it is easier because the money isn't Sam Bradford, $50 million guaranteed. I mean, it's still big money in the first round, but it does not set you back as much as it did 10 years ago. And that's, again, why people will continue to overdraft and continue to say, yeah, but man, if Desmond Ridder is that guy, to your point, right? And if Kenny Pickett, oh yeah, I know his hands are small, but my goodness, if he is that guy, it can really transform our organization quicker than a tackle, a center, a guard, even a receiver, corner, any other position does. And that's why, yes, they are starting to cheat further and further up the draft board in a way where I'd like to think if I'm in that room and I'm a general manager, I have the poise to say, I'm not going to let emotion dictate our business. I'm going to be cold and calculated and businessman and so believe in all the hours of work we've done, in all the preparation and all the scouting and all the projection that these numbers that we have next to these guys, man, we believe in it fully. So when we come to draft day, we're not irrational and we're not emotional and we don't sabotage our program moving forward.
Do you think if you and I took over a football team together, we'd do a good job?
Oh, I think we'd be brilliant.
Oh, you'd be fighting so much. You would non-stop fight.
Yeah.
Just
behind the scenes,
in different
though.
Directions.
Not in public.
Uh-huh. Oh, yep. Man.
You don't think that Brock and I would run a good team?
It would be so
think about
difficult
it. With,
for you guys.
You know, Brock scouting and his eye for football. And what am I bringing to the table again?
Your Pomona degree.
What
you
am I doing? So
very
unwavering
impressive.
To philosophy that it would just be... Oh, it would just be so difficult to make actual decisions.
Nope.
You'd end
you
up with this team
so
like this philosophically
so,
correct thing, like
so,
every player doesn't play the right
no,
position.
No, you'd be so good at challenging.
Philosophy.
You would challenge every one of mine. You would. You would just, you'd nitpick and challenge and just say, just because that's the way it's been done in the past doesn't mean it's the
say,
way we're going to do it.
There'd be a lot of zig when others zag.
Can I get that job? That's all I want.
No.
Can I get a job as a consultant where all I do is like, you know, poke holes in whatever it is you want to do and force you to like, I don't want to make the decisions. I'm terrible at that. Just I'll bring me in.
I'm
and
the
I'll,
naysayer.
Yes. Bring me in to say nay.
I poke holes in whatever you say.
You can bring Howdy in to say sooth and then you can bring me and I'll say nay.
This is when Julio Rodriguez gave you the palm.
Right.
You and you said, hey, if you want to learn how to complain, I'm your guy.
You want to talk about a great
stop.
Team. You and I consulting people with this 1-2 punch and you telling people all these different things you
need to think about and me telling them what's going to happen? Oh, now that's a team we can get behind.
Okay, let's pull the curtain back, a la Scott Service and the Mariners with Julio. Oh. Go ahead and be just blunt. Be totally transparent. Howdy, you may have to do a little more of this because Salk's more friendly with me in this regard. Where have I been terribly wrong in draft projections with QBs or different personnel over the years? Where have been some guys, as we have done this over the last 10 years, where you're like, oh, no, you really love so-and-so, and he turned out to be awful, or, you know, you couldn't stand this guy, and he became an absolute can you remember over the years of us doing this?
Like, is there a theme, you think?
You're hit
no,
on
do you
a,
think,
well,
think
there is
players?
A theme. There's only one theme where you've fallen a little bit short, and it's that your pass rushers have been all over the board.
Mine?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have fallen in love with some guys who are complete
duds. What was the guy from Michigan, Chase Winovich?
He's pretty good. He was pretty good.
Yeah. He had a good year. But
he got traded.
Yeah, but then the Patriots were like, yeah, he stinks.
I mean, I didn't take him as a first rounder, but he's a guy I absolutely would have taken.
Yeah, I know, as far as I'm concerned, Brock's been perfect. I think Brock has this thing nailed.
I know for sure he hated Josh Rosen.
Right.
Yes. As I've said, I have this weakness. Anyone the Cougs beat, I think, is good. So I'm like, no, Josh Rosen, he's legit. Like, the Cougs beat him in L.A. Like, that guy's really good. And
I don't understand what that means.
If the Cougs beat him, I think to give the win its proper due, Sam Darnold, yeah, that guy's really good. The Cougs beat
I
him
like
Friday
Sam
night.
Darnold. See, that'd be
you were
one.
Wrong about that one. I was right about that. You were wrong about
I like Sam Darnold.
He's terrible. He's got another guy with small hands. He fumbles all the
small
time.
Small hands.
He's terrible. Mm. He's not good.
I'd take him here.
Not good.
Yeah, you watch in 3 months when he's behind center in Seattle.
Yeah, okay. What?
Yes.
You watch.
Sam Darnold? He's coming here?
It's Pete Carroll, SC guy, Southern California,
not coming
son of a plumber.
He's not.
Let's go.
He's not coming here. Mark those words. I'm sure I'll be eating them later. No, this is why I wanted to hitch my wagon to Brock Starr. Like, I think Brock's great at this. So who do we like this year, buddy? Who's on the list of Brock Heward favorites? The Tyler Lockett annual list of Brock's favorites.
Yes, I'm going to give you a couple on the defensive side of the ball.
Is this at number 9 or at number 40, 41? Where are we looking here?
A little bit of both. Okay. I'll give you a little bit of both. And today is going to be linebackers and corners. Two need positions, maybe not linebacker as much, and they're going to give Cody Barton every opportunity, but to me that is still a
linebacker
need position.
Or a corner at number 9, I'm going to be mad, just so you know.
If they draft Sauce Gardner at 9, you better not be mad.
I'll be mad.
Because that guy is 6'3", a buck 90, 33.5-inch arms. Jalen Ramsey is the comp for me. And I love, you know, the Jalen Ramsey.
Love Jalen
Ramsey. How relevant was it when Jalen Ramsey was on the Jaguars? It mattered.
I love.
You know what? You know when Jalen Ramsey
got great. They went to an AFC championship.
You know when
game?
It mattered when he had actual good players up front causing. Now, dude, don't give me some corner at number 9.
Blake
I don't care if
Bortles,
his name is Sauce or not.
Blake Bortles was the QB when you nearly beat the Patriots to go to a Super Bowl because of Jalen Ramsey and your monsters you had defensively.
Right. I'm not saying that you don't need good defensive players. I'm saying they're a lot more valuable up front than they are a cornerback.
He's the only corner I would take at number 9. And he's in. I don't think he's going to be there. But if he is sitting there, and to me, man, 6'3", runs 4.4. What does Pete Carroll always say, Mike, about that certain D tackle that wears number 99? There's not humans built like Aaron Donald. They're just not guys that are 280 that run 4.5. They're not corners that are 6'3" with 33.5-inch arms that run electronically 4.41. Those human beings just don't exist. And oh, by the way, he's physical. He has pick sixes. He can take the ball away, chatted with Daniel Jeremiah a little bit. He's not as physical as Jalen Ramsey, but he plays the ball better than Jalen Ramsey. So if Sauce Gardner is there at 9, consider me more than motivated. And if they pull the trigger on it, I would be thrilled because that would mean they would have an evaluation off the charts for his abilities. So he's the one corner. It's pretty remarkable that both guys in our backyard are right there in the top 20 as far as Daniel Jeremiah's list, and he's one who I trust an awful lot, that being McDuffie and Gordon. I don't see either of those as first-rounders to the Seahawks. Let me give you a Tyler Lockett third-round, second-round guy. Not a corner, and this is where it gets a little complicated because he's a safety or a nickel. But Jalen Petrie out of Baylor was probably my favorite player this year to cover. Absolutely knock your block off. I was looking at his pro day video just to kind of confirm. 5'11", buck 98. He didn't run at the combine, so he's a 4.5 guy. He didn't want to run 4.5 at the combine. He is a 35-inch vert. He's got unbelievable short shuttle. He did have 19 tackles for loss, but I don't think there was a player on the road this year whose coach, the entire staff, head coach, D coordinator, O coordinator, opposing coaches talked about more of just an absolute killer. This guy is going to saw you in half.
Well, it's a good thing they've spent all of their money on that position and then it's not a need anymore. So
correct.
You can talk to me about safeties all you want. If they have like seven of them.
He'd be a nickel. He'd be more of a nickel. He's not necessarily your safety. He'd be nickel. More of a nickel. Yeah.
They draft. Yeah,
you draft a nickel.
Third round, as I said, he'd be, and he's a guy that's kind of all over the board. He's probably going to go somewhere as a safety in the second round, and he's going to kill people. And you're going to be like, "Oh, who was that guy?
Yeah,
oh, that's Jalen Petrie."
But what I'm going to say is, I really wish he hadn't spent all that money on Quandre Diggs. But whatever, go on.
Yep. Okay. So there's my two kind of secondary players. The only linebacker that I would draft at 9, and I still wouldn't do it, would be the kid out of Utah that I mentioned to you this morning,
Devin Lloyd.
6'3", 237, 33-inch arms, 4'6", rep 225, 25 times, jumped 35, two-time captain, 22 tackles for loss last season, four interceptions, a couple pick sixes. I mean, he's just he's an absolute monster. I've seen
middle linebacker?
He's a middle linebacker. He started as kind of a weak side linebacker, grew into a middle linebacker, could play either of those spots, and is, you know, just going to be an all-pro player in the NFL. I think he's had a couple concussions. I meant to go back and check that. I'm not positive on that. That would be the only possible concern. Everything else, I've watched him for 5 years. I watched him as a converted running back, kind of one of those Kyle Whittingham absolute diamonds in the rough and fines, kind of like Bobby Wagner was at Utah State. You know, I watched Kyle Whittingham take him as a high school running back and grow him as a linebacker and grow him as a Will and grow him as a Mike, and just became one of the most dominant players in all of college football. The reason why Utah got over the hump and finally won a Pac-12 championship game, finally got to a Rose Bowl, he was a centerpiece of that. They wouldn't take him at 9, but if they were to trade down and all of a sudden they're sitting there at 14 or at 16 and they've added another pick in the 30s, he would be a guy deeply, deeply intriguing to me. Couple of the other line, I don't love a lot of the other linebackers. N'Kobe Dean is going to be the other first rounder, top 15, a little bit undersized for me. It's a couple of the traitsy kids out of Georgia and Alabama I don't think are a great fit. But I'll give you another name, maybe in that second round, in the 30s to 40s to 50s, would be a D end, kind of a Frank Clark-ish guy. And his name is Nick Benito out of Oklahoma, 6'3", 250, ran 4.54 at the combine, jumped 35 and a half. That you just put him next to body type Frank Clark. He played, Benito did, a little bit of linebacker, got to be an awfully good pass rusher, 48 pressures last year, led all the Big 12 in pressures. And you know, I'm kind of looking
that
through
stat in the Big 12. I just assumed they didn't bother in the Big 12.
This ain't intramurals, brother.
Well, I know, but
okay, this is the Big 12.
Big 12.
I know exactly. I know what the Big 12 is. You don't draft defenders out of there. That's my number one rule.
Tell that to Trey Brown.
And they haven't much, and they haven't been first round guys. I think Big 12 has put. I mean, it's remarkable how few first round dudes on that side of the ball. So I get it,
because there's the Power Three, and then there's the Big 12 and the Pac 12.
But speed and power, traits, production, incredible, just build, physical, just knock your jaw pads out. Devin Lloyd, Nick Benito, Jalen Petrie, and a corner, Sauce Gardner, are those kind of guys. And then just a sleeper for me that I would love to see a little bit later in the draft is a kid that's got a cinder block for a head, and that is Mike Rose. 6'4", almost 250 out of Iowa State. He actually played 6'4", huh?
What?
What'd you say?
Made it hard to see.
His head is concrete.
His head is like a cinder block. Like, it's just, I had Iowa State a bunch, and he just hits you and he stops you, or like a cement mixer. Mm-hmm. And he's huge. 6'4",
what almost position is he two. Playing?
250. He's a linebacker.
Is he one of those guys that was helping them defend against the spread? I read that whole article about Iowa State defending the spread.
Absolutely. There are three down. Yeah. Kind of, yes. And he was big and fast enough. He didn't, I think he ran 4.7 at his pro day. So it wasn't like, oh, you know, he's not a first or second round kind of guy. But if you hear the name Mike Rose, think like Ben Burkervin, but 6'4, 250.
Well, Ben Burkervin, that'd be great. I'll
tell you what, Cody Barton, Ben Burkervin, you got to step up and do
that every time. But 6'4, 250 with 33-inch arms. Think of, you know, those guys as far as like production, beloved, changed Iowa State, the heartbeat, had 5 picks in 1 year, can play the ball. But just to, you know, when I look at what I think Clint Hurt and the new staff wants to do defensively, I think having just big, rangy, physical linebackers is at the centerpiece of that.
You know what they need, though, man? Like, guys who can rush the passer, play interior defensive line, and play offensive line. Like, I'm not knocking any of these guys.
Tackle.
And I know you're not specifically, like, looking at those positions today, but especially at number 9, I know that you got to draft the best available. But if they go corner or linebacker over defensive end tackle or offensive line at number 9,
I would agree. I would tend to agree.
I think that would be a big mistake.
This is where Howdy doesn't think you and I could work together, Mike. Okay. I think I would.
He doesn't know anything.
Yeah, I don't think you guys could ever succeed together.
Yeah, how are you going to make that?
I don't know how you guys could work together.
Howdy would have been like when we first interviewed, like, I just don't see it. It would have been like Owen trying to fire me. Like, it just, would have been Howdy. It might have been Howdy for all I know. It probably was.
I want to hear more about Salk. You took a wrong turn somewhere on the internet, and we're reading about the Iowa State defense?
Yeah.
Wow. That was the shock of the day, I got to tell you.
This was a year or so ago. Remember, I sent you this, I think, because they were doing a whole thing where they've found the way to combat the spread, I think, with dime, right, Brock? Don't they combat the spread with dime or something like that?
Yeah, with three down with 8 defenders.
Yeah.
Yes, 8 sure. Secondary.
Yep. Yeah, it's a whole, like, yeah, it's a dime. It's a dime concept, Kyle.
Okay.
Yeah, I can walk you through it later.
I know Bobby was telling today they switched from an over front to an under front. Well, actually, and he was talking about
using a kind of stick front.
Kind of stick.
It doesn't work for Bobby. Yeah.
Wow. Hold on a second. I'm sorry.
They run stick, and then when the offense runs a stick nod and they're running a stick front, it's a mess.
That's trouble.
Right. Yeah. Mm.
I'm totally distracted by
what? What?
Did you see what Howdy sent you and me?
Yeah, whose list is that? I didn't know what
this
it was.
This is Howdy's tracked.
Brock and
Howdy's tracked my list.
I tracked your list.
Oh, it's Brock's favorite. List. Or Brock's, my favorites.
Brock's favorite players in each
draft. We didn't track your list.
Why did you track mine?
And I checked him with him in 2019 to say, like, let's make sure we're on the same page. These are the
you
guys.
Want me to read some
it's
of these
a pretty
guys?
Impressive list.
It is.
Yeah. Going back to 2000, what?
Oh, no.
14.
Mike will now attempt to read something off his phone.
Let's just go to 2014 and end the conversation right there, because we'll just end it.
2014. Taylor Lewan, Aaron Donald, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep. Okay, we're good. I like that list. I can win championships with those guys. Okay, we got to answer
some names we saw pop back up.
2015, Vic Beasley. What happened to that guy?
He's still around. Still playing.
Tyler Lockett.
Got beat up.
Shane Ray.
Injuries to Shane Ray. Yep.
2016, you got Jalen Ramsey, Brock just mentioned, Joey Bosa. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was the number 1 or 2 pick in the draft. And Ryan Kelly.
He's a stalwart at center.
Yeah, he's good. I remember. Ryan Kelly. All right. Calm down. 2017 was Marshawn Lattimore. Good
all
player.
Pro.
Ryan Ramczyk.
You're all pro.
Jamal Adams. You got him. I mean, it worked out. You got Jamal Adams. Yeah. And Jabril Peppers. That one has not worked out. 2018 is Bradley Chubb.
Very good.
Wish you got him for us.
Right. Roquan Smith.
Yep.
Rashawn Evans. Frank Ragnow. Billy Price. Mm-hmm.
Shannon Nwosu.
Shannon Nwosu just got him.
Yeah. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Shaquem Griffin. Good. Got that.
Edgefor.
Yep.
Some late rounders.
A couple other guys late. And then 2019.
This one's not your fault. Cleveland Farrell is your favorite player, but you had no idea he was going to be selected in the top 3. That was like a late first
round. Has he been good?
No.
He's been good. He's not been great. He's been good.
Chase Winovich just got cut. Brian Burns.
Loved him. He's been phenomenal.
Christian Wilkins.
Loved
Byron Murphy. Taylor Rapp.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Taylor Rapp's amazing. Yeah.
As I said,
maybe you guys do have a future.
I'm just saying, if Brock and I work together, we pick some pretty good dudes.
Right? Yeah, with your powers combined.
I'm just saying, if you put us together.
If we work together.
With my brains and your brawn.
But when Brock and I work together, you get a pretty good team.
So I'll put it on the list right now. Sauce Gardner, my first rounder. Devin Lloyd, my first rounder. And then my second rounders are Petrie and Nick Benito.
Wait, you want to stick to just linebackers and corners?
I'm saying for the whole list.
All right, you make your list,
and they're top 10 picks.
Right, let's go beyond linebackers and corners.
That's fine.
Like, you know, some positions are relevant.
And we will get there the next 2 weeks. God bless you.
This is Brock and Sox. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
It's funny, having not heard that open in a while, I've forgotten how much Jim Mora plays a role into all of our opens.
Big time.
We're a little
and
Jim
now
Mora,
as a new Husky coach, he's going to continue to, I'm sure.
What? Oh, the Huskies, yes. The Connecticut Huskies?
Oh, UConn, yeah.
I got you.
Tricky, tricky.
Randy Edsel.
Yeah. All right, well, we solicited questions yesterday on Twitter, and Brock, we got some good ones here.
Did the people ever deliver?
People delivered.
Gosh.
They did.
So good.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
What is the best way for coaches to cut kids from a sports team? Conversation, email, phone call, letter home. Oh. I remember as a kid, you know what we had as the kid was the clipboard. Like the post-it.
They put tapes to the wall.
Who's up?
Who made it?
You'd go and find out if you were on the list or not, and you'd see kids walking away crying, kids jubilant.
That was Rudy.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
I think it's that way.
Yep. I think that's the best.
You're either on the list or you're not.
Theater, sports, all of it. You post the list, you walk away, you need some more information, you go talk with the director or with the head coach.
That's what Avery gets now. She gets a list posted for the plays she's in. Now they email it, but they just email out the class.
Email the list.
They email out the list.
And does everybody get a role, or are there some people who, you're not in this production?
She's 10, everybody gets a role, but some of the roles are a lot bigger than other roles.
That role.
And she had a real bad role in a play last year. She had like 2 lines. It was terrible. So like,
but it motivated her.
It did.
Then she became Ursula the Star.
Yeah. Now she's Lord Farquaad.
Yep.
Oh wow.
Yeah. I thought you'd like that, Howdy.
I do. Shrek to the max.
Yeah. She gets to do the best line in that whole play, which is
the Muffin Man.
The Muffin Man.
The Muffin Man. What if there's a Drury Lane? That's the one.
That's such a funny bit.
Answer the question. When are you going to hire Howdy as a theatrical consultant for?
Come on, Howdy.
To do a little personal tutoring.
Or at least adult neighborhood theater.
So I'm going to do script reading. I'll do script reading all day long. All day long.
She reads with Cecily now, and Cecily just drives her crazy. Where Heather have to be like, Cess, this is for Avery to get better, not for you to be the actress. So funny. All right, I agree. I think that's the way to do it.
Next question.
All right, hypothetical. An opportunity presents itself to let your children attend the same schools and have the same teachers that you had. Would you let them go?
How proud were your education?
Is this middle school,
like
high
no.
school, college? What all the way are we through. Talking about?
For me, flat yes. I would take that deal in a second. Yes. Flat yes.
You get BB&N around here.
You said it.
I mean, totally.
Get your heart out, Seattle Prep.
Totally different time, different era. I don't,
If my kids could get my education, but I didn't have to pay for it, where do I sign up? That sounds fantastic.
Yes. Damn, tough to say.
That is.
Really? There's so much to think about.
Right? Woodinville education?
Yeah, Woodinville and Redmond.
Yeah.
Edmonds now.
Edmond Mustang?
Muckleteo Edmonds. Mm. It's tough. It's tough.
Howdy can't make a decision.
I can't make a decision.
Next question.
Well, maybe you can help with this one then, Howdy. Actually, no. This one's not for you. Howdy will have no opinion on this. Brock, what is the best travel upgrade? Flight, car rental, or hotel room?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Howdy's never been upgraded for anything.
Depends how long the flight is. If you're talking a flight to London, the flight. Which
so what if all right? So let's make it though to the max. So the flight is a international flight.
Yep.
But let's not that's a little unfair. Let's say the flight's a cross country flight. So you're not with one of these crazy lay flat
four or 5 hours.
The lay flat crazy first class is clearly
the best
number one.
Yes,
the stay is in Cancun or in some.
Let's say it's a nice tropical destination where you get a really nice upgraded suite versus first class on a cross country flight, and we can all agree the car rental's dead last.
Yeah.
Yes, car rental's dead last. It would be duration plays a role. Both duration of flight, duration of stay at that hotel.
As we said, a full week, and it's a full cross country.
It's a hotel.
It's a hotel.
Yeah, it's a hotel.
You'll suffer middle seat coach if you're getting ocean front at
Maui. Get the honeymoon suite.
Totally agree.
With the big heart bathtub right in the middle of the room.
Yep. Yeah. The what now?
They'd say the honeymoon.
That's where the love tank is.
Brock can't wait to fill that love tank by himself in a giant bathtub.
Next question.
All right.
Did you see the song that just came this morning? Someone said, is there a song at a wedding that gets played that will get you dancing every time at the reception?
That's all songs at weddings. Generally, I am intoxicated and start dancing. I've been to a wedding in a few years. I've been intoxicated at all of them except for one.
Kyle, howdy. Is there a song that gets you up?
There you go. There's nothing to drink. It's the only wedding I didn't get drunk at.
Footloose.
Kyle barely danced at his own wedding.
We have, me and all my friends' wedding, we kind of play like Mariah Carey, Always Be My Baby. That's a big one, even though it's kind of a breakup song. Wow. But nonetheless, Always Be My Baby. Yeah, right? Isn't it?
Always Be My Baby.
You'll always be a part of
what?
Me.
Really?
Doesn't that sound like they've broken up?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
It's just one we played all the time in college, and now we play it at our weddings.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
When you dance?
Rockets Footloose.
Well, I'm not great dancing.
But you've got so much Sean Penn in you, Chris Penn. I mean, you're essentially doing that dance the whole time.
It's Footloose.
I was just telling the story of your wedding the other day with, you taking the garter out.
The
size 64 Grandma panties?
The Grandma panties.
Yeah, put those suckers up my sleeve, one for the garter. So size 68 waist, grandma panties, pull those suckers right out.
Right. Good story.
Next question.
If the Heward family had hospitably invited the Salk family to stay at their palatial estate during their remodel, what chores would have been assigned, and what would have ultimately ended this arrangement?
Wow.
Brock, what chores would you have assigned in this, alternate reality in which you and Molly were nice to me and Heather and invited us to stay with you?
I would never assign chores.
I would never invite
you would never invite us.
Hypothetical is too far.
You know what it would have been.
What?
It would have been working with Brock shoveling the snow.
Oh,
he would have had you out shoveling with him in 100%. A competition. Every time it snowed.
My back hurts just thinking about that.
Every time it snowed, you'd be with
him. If you wanted it done right,
shoveling it together.
You would have had him on your laundry. Now, I haven't done a lot of loads of laundry with or around Mike.
Uh-huh.
Ace good. Laundry.
I'm good at laundry. Good. I'll fold that thing up, man.
Yep.
I'm good.
Mike has always said he's a good roommate. He'll clean the kitchen. He'll do the dishes.
I'll
he'll
take
make
out
the
trash.
You wouldn't have a problem folding other people's undergarments?
No.
Not a big deal.
And what would have ruined it?
Quite frankly,
been the
I'd relish it.
It would have been the swearing.
Yeah, it'd be the cursing.
We had the incident at the old spaghetti factory a decade ago.
Yes.
That's when Haley heard her first curse.
It would have been like taking the Lord's name in vain.
It's
true.
Dan, what did he say? He said fire truck, honey. He said he does not like that fire truck.
She was also like 16. It was the first time she'd ever heard his curse word. It's bizarre.
She was like 8.
No.
Watch your mouth.
Maybe. All right. Let's see.
Next question.
Who are jerks? Famous Dave's with Kyle Brown. Or Ascend Prime with Boy Howdy. So they're saying, are you willing to go to the fancier, do you want the fancier, expensive food, but you get stuck with Boy Howdy? Or you go to get barbecue, but you get to hang with Kyle?
No, you have to watch Kyle, try to barely eat something. pick at it with his little fingers.
That
little bird hand.
Nobody hears that.
Sitting there slobbering over all his barbecue.
One rib, please.
1,000% Howdy. We all know Howdy is one of the great, one of his one of his top three giftings is gift receiving.
That's true, but he'll
you
be
put
over
him
the top
Ascend.
Annoying at a place like that.
No.
Because you know he doesn't like it. You know
you
that he'd rather be at Famous Dates.
Nope.
He'd rather be at Famous
Dates.
No,
he would not.
No.
Nope.
Yes,
he would be like, this A5 Wagyu is pretty good, but I've got this infrared barbecue, and I think I probably could have done this better. Just send the chef out here. I've got some tips.
I would be like Bob Wiley from What About Bob eating face corn. Oh, Faye, this is delicious. Oh, is this hand shuck? Oh.
Picture Howdy with those deviled eggs at Ascend. Are you kidding me?
I forgot how much Howdy
he'd have 24 of those by himself.
Dr. Barber, I'm sailing way far away from the dock.
Bob Stelton's first show here. Howdy filled in producing and did a whole What About Bob themed segment just so we could learn Bob Stelton.
I'll give you one guess how he received that.
Not well.
Next question.
All right, jerks. I got some more here, but this is funny.
You are going to die, Bob.
Next question.
Bob's like, I know. I think about that every day.
The worst show he's done. Yes. How'd he make him do something about What About Bob?
You cured me, Dr. Marvin. You genius.
Love how he's given these movie lines like they're the famous movie lines. Nobody has a clue. I have no idea. That's like that line from Muppet Babies. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Next question.
Oh, all right, hold on. Last one.
Next question.
Hold on. We spent the week house sitting. I can't even think.
Next question.
We spent the week house sitting for some friends. They put me and my wife up in the guest bedroom, mm-hmm. but they left us the option of staying in their bedroom if we preferred.
Whoa.
We felt that would be uncomfortable at best. Thoughts?
Hey, I'm with them.
This is where me and my wife definitely are on different pages. Definitely, because so she offers our room to everyone who stays.
Yeah.
Changes the sheets and everything. Like, yeah, feel free to stay in our bed. Mm. It's not even like, on my radar.
Yep.
But you go to an Airbnb, you stay in somebody else's bed and hotel.
But I don't know them. It's in person.
You prefer the impersonality of staying in somebody else's bed.
This bed is designed for multiple people to sleep in.
Yeah, not like
it's not designed for other people to sleep in.
But it's the same bed. It's just a bed.
It is the same bed.
Well, Uncle Jim was farting on this mattress last night. Well, great. I don't want that.
So we're going down.
They brought their 13-year-old bulldog, and he belched something out of his body that's stuck on the walls and
disgusting.
Sheets.
We're going down to my parents' place in Phoenix the next week, and they're not going to be there.
Oh.
Do we stay in their room, or do we stay in the other room?
Stay in the other room.
Right?
I'm not
staying in my parents' bedroom. That's just weird.
No, I'm with you.
All right.
Yep.
I'm glad we all agree. There's no chance you would do that, right? And would you stay in somebody else's master bedroom if that's what they offered you?
Is there a chance this is a husband-wife kind of thing?
That all husbands are like, heck no.
Generally speaking, husbands are like, no, I'd never do that. Generally speaking, wives are like,
that
I
is
mean,
for
whatever.
My family. When we left this summer, we had Caitlin's aunt and uncle stay at our house. They're not staying in our room. Are
I'll
you kidding
you
me?
Not in my family.
He said, that's fine.
Heather would not even dream of that. Like, what? I'm not staying in their bed, I think. But now that I say that, maybe I better go ask her. Yeah. All right.
So,
we're done.
Hypothetically, when you come visit us, would you stay?
Hypothetically,
in
like
it's a hypothetical. Visit.
Hypothetical, if you were to invite me to come stay with you, yes.
Would you stay in my bed?
No. I assume you have some sort of extra long bed, like I had in college. Remember, you get to college, you have to have the extra long twin.
I've got the long bed.
Yeah,
it's the California.
You have a California
king. That gives you the extra 2 inches, 6 foot
to.
Eight.
Do you like that?
Yeah,
have to.
That's nice.
I don't need that.
Nope.
Howdy and I are trying to see if we can find
it.
We actually use a double bed that we turn sideways.
That's right. Absolutely.
Better for us.
Yep.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this week. Good idea, Brock. Thank you for bringing
it
up.
Good job, Brock.
This is why you and I would make such a good team picking NFL players in the draft.
Hypothetically.
Together, hypothetically. All right. We got to go. Have a great week, everybody. We will talk to you later. The Hay.
Barn.
See everybody.
This is the chopper!